Checking in again with Tim Cahill, president of the Quincy Chamber of Commerce, for a little update here at the end of April. How are you doing, Tim?
Very good, Joe. How are you?
We're doing great. Thanks for spending some time to chat with us. I thought, you know, with the governor's announcement this week about some of the restrictions starting to ease up and things starting to open up a little bit more, I should check in with the folks here in Quincy and find out how business is doing.
Business is doing much better, much better. And it would be nice to be able to walk outside. I tend not to wear a mask when I'm outside, so it'd be nice to not be the only person starting tomorrow that won't be maskless outside. It's obviously it's positive news. And not only the mask news, but also the expansion of indoor, outdoor spacing. The fact that if I want to, I can now go get a drink without having to eat. So that'll keep my weight down a little bit. But all those things are good signs, great signs. And we will, here at the Chamber, take advantage of them. We have two events, in-person events coming up in June that we've already scheduled in anticipation of the good news. And it looks like we'll be able to have them after all. So it's very, very encouraging. We're seeing a lot of activity on the sidewalks when the weather's good for outdoor dining, and that's going to be in full swing as soon as we get some consistently warm weather, which is the one thing that's holding us back.
Yeah, it's typical spring in New England. It's a good one day and winter the next. So, you know.
Sometimes in the same day. Yesterday morning was winter. Yesterday afternoon was spring. So it you can literally wait an hour and find out what it's going to be.
It is so true, yeah. How are the golf courses in the city doing? Have you heard?
Well, we're going to find out in person on June 7th. That's the date of our golf tournament.
Okay.
We did not have one last year. So right. This will be the first one since 2019, I believe.
Yeah.
So we'll check it out. They look good. The rain last night helped. It's greening my lawn. So if they're in any kind of condition, I've been up to Granite Links and seen places full. Golfing is the one thing that you've been able to do for a long time, and people
right.
have taken it. It's actually, from what I read, a renaissance now of golf experience, because it was the one thing people could kind of do socially last year. And this was, followed a deep decline in the amount of golfers, especially millennials, who think the game is too slow and they like to move a little quicker. So it's good news for the golf. I mean, they suffered at the beginning, and even during COVID, it was a challenge because you couldn't partake in the 19th hole, have
right.
a couple of cocktails, have dinner, all those ancillary pieces. I remember having this discussion with someone saying, well, are we going to do open golf courses for millionaires? I said, no. Going to open golf courses for the blue collar people that work at golf courses, the caddies, the folks who park cars, the mm-hmm. bartenders, the waitresses. Those are the people that got hurt. The millionaires could just golf in Connecticut. They
right.
could go wherever was open. You know, some can golf in their backyards. That's kind of how it works. So, I think governments figured that out, state government and federal government, that the small people are the ones that got hurt. We are also excited about the fact that the Small Business Administration has come up with a really innovative and much needed program to help the restaurant food established industry starting on May 3rd. It's called the Restaurant Relief Fund.
Okay.
Brand new program. It's very similar to the PPP program, where you get money that you, as long as you use it for the things that they tell you need to use it for, you do not have to pay it back.
Okay.
$28 billion that is going to be appropriated, and about close to $1 billion maybe here in Massachusetts if we're lucky. And it's a great program. All they're asking for basically is your 2019 certified numbers, what you made in 2019, what you made in 2020, subtract one from the other, and that will be more than likely, that'll be a grant amount.
All right, just kind of fill in the gap basically.
Basically, whatever you lost, you can get back in the form of a grant, and you can use it for a number of different items, rent, interest on mortgages, equipment. It's not just payroll and rent like PPP was, but it's very similar in the sense that if you have till 2023 to spend it.
Okay.
So it's a great program where we've encouraged our own restaurants here in Quincy to take advantage of it. The application, as I said, opens on Monday.
Okay.
For everybody. First come, first serve. So it's going to go quick. But if you took a hit in 2019, 2020, this is a way to fill that gap and give you some cash going into 2021. You know, if you spent money on outdoor dining, and if you, as everyone did, these restaurants got whipsawed in the past year. So this is the first program I've seen that deals directly with the food industry. You could have a food truck, you could have a food cart, you can have a bakery, you can have a bar, you can have a beer garden. Any type of thing that ties into the food industry is eligible for relief in this program. And I encourage the businesses to take time, and it's not going to be a lot of time, to fill out the application starting Monday and sort of get in the door. It's going to help specifically women-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses at the beginning. But as Bob Nelson explained to us last week, he did a Zoom call for us. It's really geared towards the small guy, okay, the, you know, one or two person operation, the pizza parlor, the people that have really suffered, the family businesses and stuff, up to $5 million. So from 100, you know, 50,000 up to 500, you know, 5 million is the limit. So yeah, if you're a big restaurant, if you're Albers or if you're Fuji here in Quincy and you've got multiple restaurants, you can apply. And I encourage people to do that, because that to me is going to be a key part of us coming out of this, because it's not just about going forward for these restaurants. It's about all the debt and all of the costs that they have accumulated up till now. So like I said, the RRF, the Restaurant Relief Fund is what it's called. SBA is having, I'm going online today to learn more about it. We'll be sending more notification. But I encourage our listeners and our folks here in Quincy to take advantage of it. I'd love to see Quincy get a major portion of what Massachusetts get. But it can only happen as if you go in and fill out the application.
Okay, and you do that through the Small Business Administration, Tim?
Yeah, Restaurant Relief Fund. Okay. They go live to collect the application starting on Monday. They won't put the money out right away. It's going to take a little time to get the money out because they want to see what the demand is.
Yep.
But you can start applying and get in the queue. And again, I encourage you, because there's nothing better than to get money and not have to pay it back. Most people don't want to deal with the SBA because they're not looking for more debt. Nobody's looking for more debt. But a grant program that you don't have to pay back. And again, the laundry list of the items that you can spend the money on, it's right on the website, right on the grant proposal, is very long. So they're not trying to micromanage your business for you. They're giving you very many options as long as you keep your business going. And it's even for some businesses that are closed down or that weren't able to open.
Yep.
New businesses that weren't able to open. So, and we've got a number of those as well. So the Fours, Pearl and Lime, Alba's, again, the Lincoln Tavern, all these restaurants that either opened, closed, and are now trying to reopen are eligible for this program.
Okay, good to know. That's great, great information for sure. Yeah. Is there a cost to apply, do you know?
Nope.
Okay.
Cost to apply. It's time. You're going to have to take time.
Yeah.
You need your tax return from 2019.
Yep.
You don't need a tax return from 2020 because you haven't gotten it yet.
Okay.
But you'll need receipts. You'll need bank receipts. You need to prove, you know, sort of the, what you're asking for. Mm-hmm. It's a simple math. It's 2019 minus 2020. And the difference is basically what you'll be approved for, whether you get it all, I'm not sure. That's what you can apply for up to that number.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, it'll kind of, it levels the playing field, basically. It almost nulls the loss, right?
It could. For some places, it really could. It really, really could. And the fact that you don't have to pay it back or even spend it, you can hold on to it for 2 years.
Okay.
Before you have to spend it. And then you have to go through a process and determine that you spent it according to the plan. And then if that's the case, it's waived.
Okay. All right.
Good. So nothing better. It is a great program. And I applaud the SBA for the federal government for putting it together. It's part of the COVID Relief Act.
Okay.
And I really applaud what SBA has done to try to make this process as turnkey as possible. It's not going to be simple, but it's not going to be complicated. And you just have to prove the number, the difference and the numbers, and then you can get the money for it. So it's one thing that I really want our businesses to take advantage of, small, medium, large, wherever you are. See if it works for you. You have nothing to lose by going on the website on Monday. And I encourage people to go on the website starting on Monday.
Okay, great information for sure. Hopefully folks will take
advantage. And we'll post that information on our website so that if people watch this and they're not sure what to do, we'll post the link on our website. So if they want to go to the quincychamber.com to get it, they can, but sba.gov is just as easy. And trust me, the Restaurant Relief Fund will be front and center on Monday.
All right. Good to know. Are any Quincy businesses not coming back that you've heard, Tim?
I know that Fuji is opening on May 10th. They've been closed and open only for takeout for a year plus. So they're opening on May 10th, indoor and outdoor seating, which is great. I know most of the other restaurants in Quincy have stayed open in some kind of a hybrid form. None that jump out of, off the top of my head. I mean, there's obviously been some closure. There was a cafe that opened up shortly in Quincy called Ocean Cafe in Quincy Center that I don't think is coming back. I do believe they closed before the pandemic or right around that time, but we have a new bakery. Bakery opening up right next door in the new Galvin building, the condos on Hancock Street. So we've had restaurants open, Pearl and Lime open, the Lincoln Tavern opened, a number of new restaurants are on the docket. Open. We have a new bakery, also a French bakery opening up on the other end of Quincy Center, right next to Starbucks, across from President's Place. So a nice French pastry place, owned and operated by a young family here in Quincy. So they were part of our winter market 2 years ago, and fabulous, fabulous stuff. So we have a Moroccan bakery on one end of Quincy Center, a French bakery on the other, and I would, and then we have the chocolate company right in the middle, Perfection's Chocolate. So it's a great spot to now sort of browse, get lunch, get dinner, or maybe even just get some dessert, which is great. And we're excited about the fact that people are seeing Quincy Center and Quincy in general overall as a great place to do business.
Yeah, we've heard some concern, especially down the Cape, about getting employees this summertime. Are you hearing that in Quincy as well?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest challenge. You know, I know of some restaurants that will not offer their full sort of, you know, menu because they just don't have the help to do it all. So they will have to consolidate and figure it out. That is going to be a big question. And one of my close folks and board members told me that there are some people that work for him that just, they're in the construction business now.
Wow.
They're driving an Uber now. They've just sort of relocated. And if they can make the same money in a less hectic, less, you know, less working environment, they're taking advantage of that. There are also people that can collect unemployment and make the same, if not maybe a little bit more or closer to the same. So, but I do think people want to work. The people that got let go were not people that didn't want to work. They want to work. It's just they're changing careers in some places. But once the restaurant industry comes back in full steam, where you can, again, buy a drink without eating food, you can kind of go to a bar, that's when you'll see people go back to work because they'll be able to make more money.
Right.
That's a big part of what happened in the pandemic. I mean, even if you had restaurants open, it was these folks would be working 8 hours a day with a mask on all day and making half as much money in tips because it just wasn't the clientele. They couldn't pack them in. And so I think that will work itself out. The restaurants and the food industry have impressed me greatly during this whole thing because everything got thrown at them, everything. It's almost like the government had a vendetta against the food industry. If something is open, we're not going to open that. If we're going to open it, we got to do it this. You got to do it that. And they kind of rolled with the punches. And if you said outdoors, you could go outdoors. If they said you got to close down, you know, they just went where they were told to go. And for the most part, followed the rules religiously in many cases, to their own detriment in some cases because it hurt business. It hurt business. There's no question about it. So I think you'll see a lot of these folks come back. Because if you work hard and you're in a very successful restaurant, you can make a lot of money. You can make a lot of money. You want to hustle, you can make a lot of money. And that's most of our restaurateurs started out washing dishes, waiting tables, bartending, and making a lot of money, and then opening their own restaurant. So that will circle back. I'm fully, you know, confident in that. And the fact that Boston is now going to delay their openings 3 months beyond what the rest of the state, and certainly what Quincy's going to do, you know, again, that's the red carpet. We'll just lay it out down Hancock Street over the Ponce Bridge and say, come to Quincy. You can open tomorrow. You can open without fear of being raided or being, you know, told you can't do something because the city's been great. The working, you know, Nikki Crispo and the licensing board have been great. The mayor's been fantastic. His team has been great. They're really trying hard to make it work. Obviously taking into account safety, you know, they're not avoiding that subject, but just trying to make it work. I mean, the city has, if you haven't been down, especially in the square, but in all parts of the city, you know, take a ride around or take a walk around. It's fascinating what's happening and the changes that are taking place. The new road going into the parking garage just opened last week. So now there's a new road at Cliveden that comes across. It doesn't come all the way across yet because the bridge isn't finished yet. Right. If you want to look at what the city's been doing last year, go to behind the old Ross Way or the old parking way, which I say old because it doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And just look at what's happened back there. There are new parks, there's new fountains being put in, a new roadway with beautiful historic lights and opportunities for building new buildings on both sides. So it's a whole new way to go through Quincy Center and to get to Furnace Brook Parkway, to Adams Street, or into Bergen Parkway. The bridge is looking great, the General's Bridge. So it's phenomenal. I've been watching it sort of transform. And now that spring's here, there are trees up, there are plantings going in. It's going to be similar to the Common, the Hancock Adams Common.
Okay.
In the way it looks and the way it feels. It's another reason to live, to work, and to wanna, you know, dine downtown. Dine downtown, because there are places you can walk afterwards like you could in Boston in the North End. Yep. Grab a coffee, cappuccino, some dessert at these new bakeries that are opening up, and just go outside and sit and enjoy life a little bit in an open, safe environment. So really thrilled with what's been happening and what is going to happen over these next couple of years. Quincy is poised, and the mayor did not take his foot off the pedal. They've done a lot of public infrastructure work as well as private development, and it's phenomenal what's happened. We are going to participate in some of that by bringing the farmers market back down to Quincy Center.
Oh, really?
Starting in June.
Oh.
So we're working with the current farmers market folks and partnering with Milton Farmers Market.
Yep.
Which runs on Thursday, ours will run on Friday. So starting in June, I don't have a date yet, but starting in June, the farmer's market will open up at the new Kilroy Square, which is right behind the Fours.
Okay, that's where they were originally for quite a while.
Exactly, yeah. It's the same spot, it's just a much nicer environment. So we're gonna set that up. I don't have a date yet, but it will be in June. And that'll be in person. People will be able to come and browse and do the things you used to be able to do without thinking about it. We're also going to have scheduled our annual meeting in June, which we didn't have last year, and it's going to be outdoors up at Granite Links.
Okay.
Tent,
yeah, it's a great location up there. Beautiful view. Yeah.
Where we do it every year, but we do it inside, and it's great. A show business showcase. So we're going to modify it this year, but I've been determined to have it in person, not virtual. And based on the process, the vaccine, you know, progress we're making, we're scheduled for June 22nd. It's outdoors anyways. Those numbers have just been increased. And I expect they'll probably increase more by the time we get to the end of June. So we're ready to go. We're back on indoor, you know, back on in-person events in June. And we'll go through the summer with the winter with the farmer's market, and then try to do some of our own things in the fall with the winter market, maybe a fall market. And Kilroy Square is a great spot for that.
Yep.
Because it's got access to a parking garage, you can walk from the T, and you're surrounded by buildings and restaurants.
Right.
So if you want to eat, you can eat there, or you go eat. We may bring a beer garden in there as well for Fridays, just to bring more activity into the square. It's still quiet, and you still have to kind of use your imagination as to what's coming, but we're seeing it. We're seeing it, and you can envision it. And what we're trying to do at the Chamber is do everything we can to bring foot traffic and sort of life back to the downtown. Because one thing what we're missing, and it's going to be missing for a bit, is no workers will be in the office buildings.
Right, yeah.
That's the challenge that hasn't been overcome yet. And that's we're waiting to see how fast that comes back, because we do need those folks. We need people to go back to the office, at least partially. Otherwise, the coffee shops and the lunch places won't have any customers, and they won't survive, and we won't be able to attract new ones.
Right. Yeah. So, it's kind of a wild card, isn't it? With all this remote working from home, it's unclear, I guess, how much that's going to rebound.
Yeah, it will rebound. I'm pretty confident. Americans have a very short memory. And they're always focused on the future. Very rarely are they looking backward. They're always looking forward. I know the media likes to, not including this media, QATV.
Thank you very much.
Media in general likes to harp on the bad news, the crisis, the catastrophes and stuff. And they miss the good stuff. The, for whatever reason, I guess it doesn't sell. So, but we're focused on the good stuff, not to be a Pollyanna, but I just, you look at it. We've gotten through two world wars, a civil war, a revolutionary war, God knows how many recessions and depressions and natural disasters. I mean, they seem to never end. And it's frustrating to watch sometimes. You wonder what when people are going to get broken by it. Mm. And they just come back. They rebuild. Sometimes they rebuild better. Mm-hmm. And they take advantage of opportunities. I mean, people do get hurt in these natural or man-made or government sort of sponsored disasters. But other people see opportunity, and it's time. This past year has been a transition year for a lot of people. They've changed careers, they've changed jobs, they've changed outlooks.
True.
And if you've made it through, like we have, not just in the chamber, but personally, family-wise, you know, you've sort of made it through without losing anyone close to you, getting sick. You just revved up. You revved up to go. You want to meet people again. You want to go out to a restaurant and not be uncomfortable. You want to see people's faces from the nose down. Not that you might want to see my face from the nose down, but generally speaking, you want to see, you know, people back together and feeling comfortable, shaking hands, hugging, eating, singing, all those kind of things. And it's going to happen. I'm convinced of it. I mean, as much as it's been a bad year and a difficult year, and it's not over yet.
Right.
People will break out. People will break out. In some ways, maybe break out a little too much. But we need that, because that's one of the things I've thought about a lot this past year, the riots and all the protests and just the angst that people have had, whether it's been politically driven or racially driven or whatever has been driving it. A lot of it's been driven by the fact that we've been cooped up for a year. Mm-hmm. We haven't had outlets. You know, we're glued to the TV set and waiting for the next crisis or the next accident or the next shooting or whatever it is, instead of living our lives and trying to get out there and stuff. So not all of it is because of that, but a good portion of it has been, you know, it's not, people say, why is it happening? And it is kind of a weird time politically, mm-hmm. especially it's been a weird year, but we've had weird years in our past. We've had, like I said, if you read history, this will be but another chapter. It's not going to stand out more than others. It'll be a chapter. I mean, our generation or the generation younger than me will write about it and talk about it, but it's a chapter that we're going to say, geez, how did that happen? When did that, you know, look, see what you can find about the 1918 Spanish flu.
Mm-hmm.
Killed hundreds of millions of people all across the world, 10, 15, 100 times more than this pandemic has. It's hard to find anything about it.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that came and went and passed, and, you know, people suffered, and then, you know, and then people came back. So we're very optimistic about the future of Quincy, especially, and about the country in general. You know, we're going to be better than we were going in. I think this vaccine rollout has been phenomenal. In less than a year, we've had, you know, we have four vaccines, two here in the United States, one here made in Boston, mm-hmm. in Massachusetts, Moderna. I mean, that's just never happened. It's never happened. And if it didn't happen, we'd still be, you know, going up against the tide right now.
Right.
And it happened, and it's happening, you know, phenomenally, you know, quickly, when people said it wouldn't. I mean, last April, they said, we're going to have a vaccine by, if you told people last April that 100 million people would be vaccinated by next April and another 100 million coming, they did scoff. They did roll their eyes, and yet it's happening. And that, again, that's America. Primarily, that's America. It's not, you know, it's different here. And I think that, to me, is just a great sign. It's just a great sign of what we're capable of when we get pushed up against the wall.
Yeah. What do you think about the mayor's plan, Tim, for a new home for Quincy College downtown? How important is that to the business community?
It's very important. Very important. We'll see. I just reading about it in the Quincy Sun. I mean, the council just started debating it, and we'll continue to debate. It's a big project. Mm-hmm. But I agree with the mayor that if Quincy College is going to survive, this is the only way. Having a permanent home is the only way for them to survive. From what I've seen, it's a very attractive, very handsome looking building, which would be a nice cornerstone to the Common, and Old City Hall and the Church of the President. So it would really sort of mark off that spot. I think that square in a beautiful, very attractive way, which can't hurt the city and stuff. So the question comes down to really, what is the health of Quincy College and can it survive the next 6 years waiting? Right. What I learned when I was treasurer, we created the school building authority, the new school building authority, which created, you know, which led to Quincy High School, Central Middle School, Sterling, all those new buildings here and across the state of Massachusetts. And what we found is that when you build a new school, they will come. Mm-hmm. You know, Quincy High School, students didn't want to go to Quincy High School. North Quincy was overcrowded back a decade ago.
Yep.
Now Quincy High School is overcrowded.
Right.
The education didn't change dramatically. The facility changed. And then the, you know, and the perception changed. And the same thing with Sterling, which, you know, was a bad building when I went there in the 70s, Joe. And we're 50 years from then, and we're still sending students there. Beautiful school. So if I believe it will do for Quincy College what these other schools are doing, what the other schools have done for Quincy. When you invest in public buildings, people notice it. You got to make sure you can pay for it. And I think that's the debate that's going on. Can we afford it? And I think we're in good financial shape because we've been doing the other development. That's a big part of what has to have happened before we could get a new police station, before we could get a new city hall and Quincy College building. Without the private sector contributing to, you know, One Chestnut Place, you know, the new apartment buildings that are, you know, the LBC building, what's happened, the Elevation building up on Crown Colony, all those new buildings, which I know, you know, the new building on Whitwell Street, mm-hmm. apartments, they're controversial. They change the neighborhood. Not everyone loves them. They bring in more people, more traffic, more, you know, more population. But if a city doesn't grow, the city dies. And the mayor knows that. And I think that's been his philosophy. And if the city doesn't take that new revenue that it's getting from these new buildings and reinvest it, then people have a real gripe. We're getting all this money. Where's it going? It's going into these new, really public projects like, you know, Kincaid Park. Beautiful. And again, as someone who hung out at Kincaid Park in his teenage years, it's just night and day.
Yeah.
And that part of Quincy hadn't seen investment in 50 years since the Lincoln Hancock School had been built when I was, again, a young man. And it's been a shot in the arm for those mm-hmm. folks out there that kind of got left behind all these years. The new Central Middle School, I mean, Central was 120 years old. Mm-hmm. So you need to do that. You need to do that. New City Hall, the glass structure does not function. So you got to rebuild that somewhere. And Quincy College needs a home, and if it's going to survive. And I do think it's important that it does survive. Having a college here along with Eastern Nazarene is helpful. It brings new people into the city. It brings new money into the city. So those things are very important for the lifeblood of the city because foot traffic is what we need. People coming in here. And there's nothing better than for someone to turn their life around by going to Quincy College. Someone who's not on the college track, someone who struggled, you know, later in life, and they want to go back and change their lives. Quincy College is a great facility and a great organization to do that, which it's a life changer. And people who have done that, and I see them run into them all the time, I think, understand and want to fight for that. So I wholeheartedly support it. Obviously, I respect the council. I trust that they'll scrub the numbers and make sure that the city can afford it. But I think, I don't want to say we can't afford to do it, but we got to find a way to afford to do it, you know, because we need to keep moving forward. We're working on something, Joe, that we'll be announcing soon, and I'll come back on when it's ready to roll out, called the President's Trail. I don't know if I've mentioned it in the past, but
you have mentioned it. Yes. Yeah.
So we're getting close. It's been, okay. Again, the pandemic has slowed everything down, but the President's Trail, what it does is it's a walking trail, an urban walking trail that unites all of the historic sites relating to the Adamses, the Quincys, and the Hancocks, the founding fathers of this city and this country. And what it does is it just follows the route from Quincy Center down to the birthplaces, up to the Carn, comes back up and around. And what we want people to see when they're on the trail, whether they live in Quincy or whether they live somewhere else, is how the city has kind of transformed itself over the years. You still have the Church of the Presidents, and you still have the Adams Building, and then you have 1400 Hancock Street, mm-hmm. and a trust building, which was built in 1929. And then you go next door and you have West of Chestnut, you know, down this, you know, so it's a living, breathing city. We've got history, we've got old buildings, you know, historically old buildings and very well-maintained older buildings. And we've got a farmhouse, two farmhouses where presidents were born down the street. And right across the street is McKay's Breakfast and Lunch. Yeah. And right next door is Hancock Tire and Appliance, you know, Hancock Appliance. So, but that was the city the Adamses lived in back at the turn of the 18th century.
Yeah, it was farmland essentially at that point. Yeah.
It was farmland and blue collar workers, you know, blacksmiths that now are gas stations and things like that. That I think, you know, to me it's exciting because you get to see, you know, the revolutionary Quincy, Civil War Quincy, the Roaring 20s Quincy, and now the Roaring 20s again, the 2020s Quincy. And that to me is, you know, I think people are attracted by it. It's an urban walking trail, so you're gonna see both the good and the and maybe the not so attractive about urban living, but most of it's good. And what's not good about it, what's not maintained, well, that's our job at the Chamber, to get people to support people to help revitalize their storefront, get new signs, things like that. And when you're on the President's Trail, it should mean something. It should mean something, you know? And that's what we're working on right now is to incorporate. It's a 6-mile walking trail.
Okay.
We'll have an app, which we've already created, a map, a, you know, brochure. There'll be signage at every significant site. I think there's 10 signs, 12 sites. And they'll be linked together with directionals so people will know they're on the trail and stuff. And we're going to work with the business community on the trail to put stickers in their windows to advertise. We think it's significant. It's like the Freedom Trail in Boston. If you buy it, that gives you a little cachet. And if you walk it, it's great. I mean, it's a great sort of, it was not born in the pandemic, but it's something that's come out of it. We want people to be outdoors. We want people to be walking. This is a perfect way to promote that, making the city more walkable, making it more friendly. And when you're walking the trail, as I've done a couple of times, and we'll probably do a couple more times before we're done, you just see things that you wouldn't see when you're driving by.
That's true with anything you walk, I think.
Yeah, interesting little alleyways and these houses that aren't historically significant, but go back to the 1800s, because you see it on the granite at the basement level of the house, or you just see what was there when you walk up Penn's Hill to go to the Carn, which we would encourage people to do, because it's just beautiful up there.
And you get to talk to people, you know, that you wouldn't normally and meet people.
You do.
Normally.
And we want Quincy people to take advantage of it, because it amazes me how many Quincy people don't know of the history, especially the newcomers, but even people who have been there forever.
Yeah.
They've never gone in to the Adams Mansion. And the way the trail is going to work is you don't have to go in to the building to experience it. Mm-hmm. You can go inside through the app.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Envision it by the signage that's out front, which will tell a little story about what actually happened here during the presidential times.
And get
an appreciation for what life was like and how important those people, Abigail Adams, John Hancock, Dolly, Dorothy Quincy Hancock, you know, all these people of the Quincy family had enormous things to do, enormous strengths to have made this country what it is. And Quincy is, you know, one of the birthplaces of this whole thing in this entire country.
Yeah. Well, I know there was a $10,000 grant from the state. I don't know if it was to the Chamber or to the tourism department.
A new tourism director just secured the grant to help promote. And the South Shore Chamber also got a grant for tourism that we will participate in as well. Because it is to promote history, tourism, all the things we've been working on. Mm-hmm. The only thing we're waiting for right now is the signs to come in. Once the signs come in, they'll be put in. We've just walked it just this last week. We walked the site. to make sure we know where the signs are going to go, legally and safety wise and otherwise and stuff. They're beautiful signs that will hopefully last 100 years.
Okay. They're
made of real material. And what we've done with the Historical Society's support and help is found words that John Adams or Abigail or someone said to describe this place. So it's not our version, it's their interpretation of what went on here, what happened here. Which we think it's significant, because if you walk by Peacefield and you're not conversant on what it is, you really don't know what it is, except it's a beautiful old farm with a beautiful house. But this sign will give you an idea, even if you don't go in it. And if you want to go in it virtually when it's closed, like they are now, or in the winter, you can still do that by just clicking on the app, thepresidentstrail.com, and you'll if you have your phone, you can sort of walk and visit and listen to what actually happened. So it's been a very interesting project to work on, and it's frustrating because it's taken so long. But and it will be done in advance of Quincy's 400th anniversary, which is coming up in 2025.
Right.
So, which there'll be a lot more tourism related events, but we want to mark this place. We want this President's Trail to be as important and as visited as the Freedom Trail is, because we think it's every bit as significant, maybe even more so.
Well, we look forward to talking to you more about that once it's officially launched, for sure. But in the meantime, it's the Restaurant Relief Fund, right?
Restaurant Relief Fund, the application, you can go online now and look at it if you want at the sba.gov. It's posted on our website. We'll update that. And then on Monday, May 3rd, it officially opens. You can actually put your application in, and then we'll go from there. But we encourage everyone in the food industry, in any kind of food industry, to go online, see if they qualify, and apply as best they can. And if they have trouble, the SBA has a call center. They have people that will help walk them through it. If they don't have their own accountant, if they don't have their own book, you don't have someone that can kind of walk them, tell them what they need. There is help, online help for that. And I trust the SBA is going to be fully staffed and ready to handle it. They've done a great job over the last year figuring out these programs, and they've had a whole year to kind of figure out what works and what doesn't. So they'll be ready, and they expect a very healthy response. So, you know, get in line quickly, because it'll be first come, first serve. When the money runs out, the money runs out.
Okay.
So we'll encourage all of our restaurants, all of our food establishments, catering companies, whatever you had to do last year. If you lost money last year versus what you made in 2019, there's a good chance that you'll get some, if not all, that back.
All right. Couldn't end on a better note than that, Tim. Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you to the QATV audience for hanging in there with us. And again, my hat's off to the city of Quincy. It's done certainly a magnificent job in handling something that no one ever expected to handle. But we're coming out stronger than we went in.
All right. We will catch up with you again later on.
Sounds good. Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.